This episode is brought to you by Foster Sundry, a specialty grocery located in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Have you ever wanted to open a restaurant, launch your own food brand, or dive into the ever-changing world of food media? Well, buckle up. Join us for Aspiration to Action, a special live podcast on Monday, June 3rd at Haven's Kitchen in Manhattan. Zara Tangora and Bretton Scott, hosts of Life's a Banquet, will lead us through tales of the good, the bad, and the transformative. Featuring food world innovators and HRN hosts, Dana Cowan, host of Speaking Broadly, Eli Sussman, host of The Line, along with his brother Max, and Allison Kane, host of In the Sauce, in conversation with Jenny Britton Bauer. Light refreshments will be provided by Paris Gourmet, Wolfer Estate Vineyard, and Tahani. Get your tickets before they sell out by going to heritageradionetwork.org/action.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you? Memorial Day's over. We made it.
We survived. We did survive. How was Memorial Day for you? Was it a relaxing weekend at the beach?
No, it was a stressful weekend at work.
Yeah. You knew the job was tough when you signed up.
Exactly. No, and I say that like it's a complaint, but honestly, I'm bored if I'm not stressed out of my fucking mind all the time.
Same.
As I think anybody who's crazy enough to get into this business is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny being as far up as we are on the Upper East Side. Anybody who's up there.
Wait, I thought that was Connecticut.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, 97 is Connecticut.
Maine, actually, technically, they annexed it. A lot of Mounties coming in over the weekend. But yeah, it's funny, like if you're in that neighborhood and it tops out at like 76 degrees, there's this kind of cabin fever. Everyone's like, I gotta get out of here. But it was like busy. Like people would go to the beach during the day and then come back and we'd just be crushed for the last 4 hours of service. It was fun.
At the Rochard.
The Rochard.
Yeah, we were, well, frankly, we were just normal as every other day of the year at Amore Margo. But at the new Honeybees, we were storming the beaches. We were getting crushed.
Nice.
Which was great. People coming out for, you know, some delicious cocktails and some, smoked barbecue fare. It was outstanding. We had a great weekend.
Nice. I'm glad you had a good time south of the border there.
Yeah, man, put us through our paces and, you know, maybe starting to teach us, you know, show us our own mettle. You know, we're only 3 weeks in, so really kind of starting to define what the team can and cannot do.
Well, yeah, that's what you got to do, man. You don't know how the car drives until you take it up to 88 miles an hour and see how it handles on the highway, you know?
Funny that you use an automobile analogy, because I say that all the time. I say any shift that I work that I don't get all the way into fifth gear, I feel is a wasted shift.
Yeah.
If I never find fifth gear, that's pointless.
Yeah, I didn't buy this sports car just to, you know, drive it in traffic all the time.
Right.
I say as a person who will never own a sports car in my entire life.
Yeah, or any car at all.
I assume it's nice.
Any car at all here in New York City. Well, speaking of New York City, our guest in the studio today is my neighbor in the East Village and good friend Eric Trickett, who runs the bar over at Holiday Cocktail Lounge. Welcome to the studio, Eric.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, man, I'm happy to see you in here. We've been talking about getting you in here for some time.
Well, it's good to be here.
Yeah, finally. Also in the studio, I got my buddy Jason. He's a regular at a bunch of my bars and just an avid fan and listener and wants to come in and hang out with us. Thanks for being here, Jason. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Trickett.
Yo.
What's going on, man? You have lived in New York for how long now?
5 years.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Since that trip that we were on together where I said to you, come to New York. It's a tiny town full of friendly people.
Tiny town full of friendly people.
First of all, I firmly believe that.
Yeah.
Say it with conviction because I feel it's true.
It's.
And I feel like I said that to you and then you fucking packed up your bags and moved here.
Well, I tell you, it was a little bit more involved than that. But I will say that as anybody in New York who knows you knows, it's a tiny town full of friendly people, and you live that adage, and so that's appreciated.
Thanks, man. So you came out here from California, beautiful, sunny California. You gave that up for the fucking concrete jungle.
Concrete. Well, I mean, L.A. is basically the concrete jungle, too, you know?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's a sprawling concrete jungle.
It's more like the forest floor than the treetops here.
There you go, I suppose.
And what were you doing out there before you came?
Same stuff, running bars, working bars, bartending, brand ambassador stuff, working with a whiskey company and running around and, you know, getting drunk.
What is it that made you say to yourself, I need to go to New York City? Because I feel like a lot of people come to New York City because they say, I'm living in a smaller market, I need to get that greater experience, but LA is a humongous market.
Well, you know, and I get asked this question, you know, daily behind the bar. People are always, you leave California with the weather and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, yeah, I did. And, you don't ever really want to have the long conversation about why you left Southern California and your family and all those things that are so important to all of us. But you don't have that conversation. And so whenever somebody asked me over the bar, I always just say, I was bored.
Yeah.
You know? Time for a new challenge, time for a new thing. I wanted to see what else I was capable of doing, and so I did. But the reality was there was a girl.
Yeah, it's always that.
Oh, yeah. Does anybody do anything?
I say there's really two reasons, right? It's money or a relationship. That's kind of every I've lived in 12 states, and every single move I made was one of those two reasons, if not both.
The incredible irony was that she broke up with me right after we signed the lease about 30 days before I moved here.
That exact same thing happened to me when I moved here, too.
Where were you coming from?
D.C.
Okay.
Yeah.
I lived there for a while. I lived in Eastern Market.
Nice. I was right by there. It's a fun town, man.
Yeah. I haven't been back. I was there during college when my buddy was living there, and I had a semester off, and I was like, I'm out of here. You got a house? My best friend from high school, his parents bought a house because his dad was a doctor and whatever. There's a lot more to that story, but that's another point. But it was great. I loved living there, but I haven't been back to DC since 2004, and I'm really looking forward.
Road trip. It is different.
I was supposed to go down with Alex Strange this weekend. We were going to go on Monday, and we were going to go eat crabs in Annapolis with Rachel Sergi and Bob Wagner. And
oh man, why didn't you go?
Well, a bunch of our staff is at Camp Runamuck this weekend, and
Runamuck is great for everybody there, and it ruins the lives of everybody that's not there.
Yeah, we all got tagged with working those extra doubles and things, you know. So on the holiday weekend, we were not busy. We were
holiday weekend at Holiday Cocktail Lounge was not busy.
See, the thing is though, the sun's out, we're a cave.
Yeah, a little
bit. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Late night, we had some people in, you know, the usuals, our friends and family coming in, bartenders and industry late night, and it was good. That was fun. But the rest of the time, during the day, it was a lot of me standing around trying to fill air about
nice and slow. Do you take this sort of data into account and maybe look at it on upcoming years and say, maybe we shouldn't be open in the daytime like we normally are on these days because it's pointless? Or do you say to yourself, we're always here, so we should be open because we're always here?
Yes. First of all, in answer to part of your question, yes, we do take the data into account. It was kind of funny. We were looking at the data, and I mean, almost to the hour, we could predict what our sales were based on the last couple of years. Like it was pretty impressive. And I got to give credit to Becca, our GM, for being that on the ball and having those things tracked as well as she does and paying attention to that information and looking at the last 3 years. And, you know, we've been there now four. So, but being able to look at that stuff, and yeah, she did know. But the other thing is, and you know, you're absolutely, What we say is that, you know, you start closing your doors at early or any time that you're supposed to be open and you're not open or you're not doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing, that's when you're just almost dead.
Yeah. You lose trust of your guests.
Yeah.
I'm always open to my posted hours.
Yep.
The only exceptions for me are snow, and snow I will always close. I try and open, but I always close 2 hours early on purpose because I don't want my staff having to get home late in the snow, and I don't want to send people out into the snow drunken. Well, but I make that known on social media and all those things. I'm like, we're open, but we're closing 2 hours early. Like,
right. The only time we're ever not open is if our staff can't get home.
Right.
So, you know, if they close bridges and tunnels during snowstorm or something, then we just we keep the bar closed all day.
And I think that's normal for
if we had somebody
for your neighborhood bar.
If we had somebody that lived in the East Village.
Oh yeah, like I stomped to the bar in the snow.
If I lived near the bar, I would go and I would open it and I would be there and I would be the one that would work that shift. But I, you know, we all live in Brooklyn, so
right.
we can't, or Brooklyn and Queens and Jersey and, you know, so
nowhere nearby.
There's no one that, I mean, that can safely get there and back.
I think that's a good thing. You know, that's kind of a hallmark of a neighborhood bar. And I don't think you see that all the time at quote unquote fancy cocktail bars, but I try and uphold those standards at my bars, which are, I think, considered to be somewhat fancy. You know, it's I want to always be there. I just want to be there. I want to be open as often as I can be open.
You're like the only bitters bar in America.
Maybe the world.
Well, sure. But I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's plenty of Amari focused bars in places that make Amari, but, yeah, I mean, I'm saying a little bit fancy.
Okay. I'm unique. I'm niche. How about that?
A little bit?
Yeah, okay.
Slightly esoteric.
I'm edging towards niche.
Well, and also, I think that's kind of like, I think of it in the same way as a loss leader. Like, yeah, sure, maybe you're not going to, you know, be crushing sales in, you know.
No, but knowing you're there.
Exactly.
It's a comfort.
Yeah.
It's a comfort to your guests. And it's also, you know, I find, especially in those, I don't know why it's Memorial Day, we're talking about snow. But I find, especially on those snowy days, when we do crack the door open, we get full.
Oh, of course.
And most of the faces in the room have never been there. And they're there because they want to go somewhere, and we're the only thing open.
And that's what they found. Yeah.
And those are the best days because you are already doing, you're already fulfilling everything they want from a bar just by doing the most basic act of being open.
Yeah.
Like, you never get the people.
Most basic act of being open.
Open the door, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've already fulfilled all of their bar dreams just by letting them, like, walk in and order a alcoholic drink of some stripe.
I'll have one unit of alcohol, please. Yes. They don't even care what it is at that point. They're just like, I'm so happy to be here.
A glass of your finest mulled wine, please, sir.
Yes. So wassail. So okay, you get yourself out here. The lady
that was already over.
Pretty unceremoniously dumps you. You still came though. You said this happened the 30 days before you were on your way.
We had just signed the lease.
Yeah, so you were obligated.
It was
your
man. It was me and Hendo.
Yeah, right.
John Henderson. And so I said, well, you know what? I'm on my way. Let's do it. Let's go. I'm moving to New York anyway. So. It's fine. I'll make it work. We'll do whatever, you know?
You know, sometimes I think
what is it you say? Do sober what you say you'll do drunk?
that's Ernest Hemingway said that. Oh, there's a second part of that no one ever remembers. It's always
it's because we're drunk.
Yeah. No.
It's something like...
It's always do sober what you promised while drunk. That'll teach you to keep your damn mouth shut. but I do live my life by that rule, and I guess you do too. And that's good. That makes us men of our word. And I think that was the whole impetus of the statement from Hemingway in the first place. But so you came out,
and he was always drunk.
Well, yeah. So he was just always doing things that he said.
Yeah, and doing ridiculous shit.
Yeah. So you moved out. You got a place with Hendo. Where were you living at that time?
That was Greenpoint.
Oh yeah, Greenpoint. That's right.
Yeah, right up there at the top of it.
Yeah, kind of where I live now.
DuPont in Manhattan.
I don't really like it.
I'm
not going to hate on Greenpoint on the radio.
I do.
It's not that I don't like it.
I do like Greenpoint.
It's not that I don't like it. It's that I loved my space in the East Village and Lower East Side for so long. Basically 15 of my 18 years in New York, I lived in the East Village and Lower East Side. And now I live in Greenpoint. And I sound like a dick when I say it, but like, I'm not cut out to live on a quiet tree-lined street. I just don't like it.
Well, like, people aspire to that. I don't think anybody that lives in Greenpoint is going to hate you for saying... It's quiet and tree-lined and gorgeous, and I can't fucking stand it. Yeah,
right. It's also funny that, like, that's your version of retiring out to the suburbs. It's
too far for me.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody else, it's like, yeah, you know, you got the yard, the white picket fence, the dog. It's just like, oh, there's trees on my street, and I fucking hate it. I can't stand it.
I can't sleep. There's no sirens.
There's kind of that,
too. I'm with you, man. I understand.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. We're going to come right back and talk to Eric Trickett about his time behind the bar in New York City. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Foster Sundry, a specialty grocery located in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Since opening in August 2015, Foster Sundry has evolved into a neighborhood hub for weekend brunch, weeknight groceries, coffee on your morning commute, a draft beer after work, and so much more. Their cheese counter, whole animal butcher, and produce section make grocery shopping a pleasure. Foster Sundry also offers catering and wholesale. Learn more at fostersundry.com. That's FOSTERSUNDRY.com.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. Thanks for tuning in. We're in the studio today with Eric Trickett from Holiday Cocktail Lounge and others. But we're talking mostly about his time in New York City right now. Eric, we were just off the air and we're talking to Matt, the engineer, and he gave us some follow-up to the Hemingway quote that we just quoted. Always do sober what you promise while drunk. That'll teach you to keep your damn mouth shut. What was it about the Phoenicians that you got excited about?
I think he said the Phoenicians.
Yes, Phoenicians.
But I mean, maybe it was Venetians. I don't know.
Like Phoenicia.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So we were right. So that was interesting to me. Matt was talking about when you make a decision, or when you're trying to make a decision about something, you need to just go ahead and get real plastered, make the decision. You wake up the morning after and you're like, well, that was the decision I made, huh? Well, okay. Was that a good decision? Was that a bad decision? So the interesting thing to me is that at Holiday Cocktail Lounge, the way that we make a lot of our creative decisions will be like myself and Joe Donahue and Patrick or Sean or Alex Strange or Becca, any number of us will, we gotta write a new menu. What's going to be the theme for our new menu? And we'll just go to somebody's bar around the corner, one of our friends, and we'll just sit there and get
just
tanked.
Yeah.
and you know, everybody's just, well, what about this idea? Well, that idea kind of sucks, but what if we did that with that idea? Well, no, that sucks too, but what about this? And they just keep building and building and building until we get to something so absurd that I have to pull my phone out and leave a voice note because I can't even type.
Right.
You know, it's like, trick it. Tomorrow morning, remember, this is your new menu. Okay, cool. Like, it's done, guys. Let's celebrate.
And then the next day, you start to
wake up, and I'm like, what the hell were we thinking? That's the worst idea I've ever... Oh, well, you know what? It might work.
Well, you know, it does. It seems to be working because Holiday Cocktail Lounge is coming up on 4 years old, you just mentioned, right?
Yeah, 4 years old.
Which is amazing. 4 years is 20 years in any other city.
Dog years, New York bars.
Man, yeah.
And actually it's pretty exciting. We've got our new menu coming. We don't do it very often, but when we do, it's a full project. We get the whole graphic design involved. And so this one, I'm really excited and it's finally in production. So I can finally actually let it out of the bag. We're doing a survival guide. So the old survival guide books that just had ridiculous scenarios that you would never find yourself in. Well, so we took a bunch of those and
how to ward off a bear while being bitten by a snake.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have the strangest research library of any bar in the history of time, I think. We've got stacks of records, stacks of Mad magazines, stacks of survival guides, the only thing we don't have a ton of are cocktail books.
Well, that's not where you get your inspiration, right? That's where you get some reference, inspiration.
We've got a couple of good ones down there, but for the most part, very few cookbooks, cocktail books, any of that stuff. We just have.
Can you name a couple that you feel like you get your most inspiration from? As I make us a pitcher-sized martini with this gin and vermouth that you brought us. Here we go.
Cocktail books that we get inspiration from.
That was gin. Not cocktail books, just books.
Everything else.
Oh, the other fun stuff. Yeah, well, so a lot of our inspiration comes from, well, a lot of the things that we end up buying, we buy because we decided to do this ridiculous menu, right? Like, so we decided, well, hey, let's make a menu that's a survival guide, how to survive the East Village. Yeah, and it doesn't end up being how to survive the East Village. Yeah, that's Southern.
That's the
Southern with the stir.
I got the Pavlovian response already. It's just like,
So we went and we bought. You just go on Amazon and you buy like 700 different survival guides. How to survive a circus? How to survive the zoo? How to survive? You know, and the topics that are in these things are just absolutely absurd. Like what to do when the monkeys escape the zoo. And you know, there's a little page. It's about the zookeeper trying to
open a bar. That's
what flee the state.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so what we did with this menu, which I'm pretty excited about, was we took all of these ridiculous concepts that were in the survival guide, you know, what to do when the animals escape the zoo. And then we turned that into something that was related to our bar, right? So then the cocktail is called 3 a.m. on St. Mark's, right? AKA what to do when the animals escape the zoo. And then there's like a little blurb in there that I put that's like a three sentence. Well, it's your fucking job to go get them. You let them out in the first damn place. Like, you're on the hook for this one, pal. Right.
And your menu, by the way, the physical description of the menu, it's like a little magazine.
It is, yeah, and it has been since we started. That was a Michael and Danny thing. Mm-hmm. The first concept was a playbill.
Yeah.
You know, but the whole goal going forward, at least as it was explained to me initially, was that every time we were going to do something slightly different. You know, so then the second one was a literary zine. The third one we did a mixtape.
Yep, I remember the mixtape.
The one that the most recent one that we did before the one that's coming now was a ripoff, just an absolute steal of Mad Magazine.
right.
I'm sure Mad would be honored by that.
You know, what do they say?
What?
Good writers borrow, great writers steal outright.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. The Mad Magazine one was a lot of fun. The ones that I've been responsible for were the mixtape, the Mad Magazine, and now the Survival Guide. Or not responsible for. That's irresponsible of me to say, because my staff is just as responsible for it as I am.
They got just as drunk as you did when they were
more like
the
caretaker, I suppose.
Sure, you know,
like, I'm the midwife of the menu.
you birthed the thing.
How often do you flip these things? Because your menus
that's an endeavor.
For people that haven't been in, it's a production.
We try and hit about once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a whole lot of stuff that goes into it. Graphic design, creative. And then there's the whole food side, and we've got Mikey Taggart, that's our chef now, and doing all the food over there. And so, I mean, there's so much about it that goes into the actual product and the launch of it. And then there's all the t-shirts and swag that we do with every menu launch, and we do, you know, and they go immediately almost.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, well, how do I get a t-shirt? Well, you better show up when the menu launches.
Yeah. Do you have a set date for that one? This one?
It's about 2 weeks right now.
Okay.
I'll
look out for that.
Got the final draft.
So.
Cheers.
Cheers, let's guys. Take this martini. Thanks for bringing this stuff in.
Yeah.
It's not often we get a mixed drink out of people. Usually they just bring us pours.
Not often I drink a whole mason jar of martini, but hey, it's Wednesday.
It's delicious. Mm. Roughly 50-50. I did not jigger.
Close enough.
Government
work.
Just dumping into a pitcher. That's a big endeavor. But one of the cool things, and correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't your menu looks kind of like a Playbill size magazine?
Yeah.
Like you get when you go to a show on Broadway. And you have ads in there, don't you?
So you kind of subsidize
all this production by getting ads to pay for your own menu.
We have in the past done that.
I think that's brilliant.
We didn't do it on the last two.
Oh, okay.
And the reason for that was space.
Sure.
We wanted to put extra creative stuff in there and not waste the space. So we're fortunate. We have lots of friends that help us out in lots of ways.
Sure, of course.
So yeah, that's good. But and then also, you know, I'd be remiss to not mention Amanda Elder, who does our actual creative production of it. She sits down with me and listens to my crazy, stupid idea, and then turns it into a reality. Even though not only am I basically computer illiterate, the only computer I understand is a POS. So I couldn't tell you how to use anything more than a Word document or an Excel sheet. But she creates all the pages and puts all of my ideas on paper and ends up making this thing that looks beautiful.
Yeah, she's rad. Longtime bartender here in New York City.
Yeah.
And creative, what do we call it? Design?
She's a graphic designer.
Graphic designer.
Yeah. And she works over at Skernick as well. So.
Yeah, and she's odd that you would bring her up. She's going to be on the show, I think, in 2 weeks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're going to talk to her about
totally school. Deserving.
Yeah, we're going to
ask her about my menu. She'll tell you.
Yeah, I mean,
what a garbage human I am to deal with.
Not true. I think it's fun when creatives from two different parts of creativity work together. You know, you're creating the menu itself, but she's creating the physical, you know, manifestation of that mentality. So it's got to be a pretty cool collaboration.
It's exciting every time to get to work with someone who is not only patient and kind and willing to walk you through what is physically possible, but then also to work with someone who's just so genuinely talented.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait to have her on the show. So when you, like, talk to us a little bit, you know, the listener maybe doesn't know much about Holiday Cocktail Lounge, but Holiday Cocktail Lounge, you kind of jabbed at me a little bit earlier in the show to say, you know, I'm niche and I'm unique and all that stuff. But Holiday Cocktail Lounge has some things about it that are powerfully unique.
You know, it's funny that you'd say that because from my perspective, there's not, you know, and I think you would probably say the same thing for you. You're just doing what you love.
Sure, sure. People come in all the time and they say, oh, give me something unusual. And I'm like, I see all this every day. None of it's unusual to me. Yeah.
Oh, it's not weird. I mean, okay. Yeah. So I guess the story that probably encapsulates and ties the whole thing together with what you're asking about. Joe and I talk all the time about how we'll walk into a friend's bar and it could be, you know, it could be a Moreno Margaux. It could be all the way up on 92nd and Lex, the Rochard. Yeah. But we, you know, it doesn't matter. It could be the Nomad, you know, whatever bar we're in. And we hear a song and we just start singing along. And it's not until we look around and like half the bar is looking at us like, yo, fucking assholes, shut up. We're trying to eat our $50 steak right here. Like, right. We're like, oh, right.
Right. We're not at home.
Yeah. And, but like for us, I guess that's unique, you know, that it's just constantly people screaming and singing and like doing karaoke without a microphone, but just their friends and like not in a private room at all or anything. But to us, that's not unique, you know, that's every night. That's and people are like, well, what's unusual?
But you guys cultivate that atmosphere. You encourage it. You
Oh yeah, we're screaming behind the bar and we're screaming at each other and we're singing and we're yelling. And I mean, again, you know, that goes back to Danny and Danny
Michael Neff.
I can tell you it was three or four nights. No, I don't know. It was pretty not too long after I had moved to New York that I walked into Extra Fancy and there was Danny behind the bar and he's like, Trix, come outside and have a cigarette with me. I go outside with Danny and I'm talking to him for a second. He's like, hey, my brother and I are doing this thing. Like, okay, what are you doing? It's like, well, it's going to be a rock and roll bar. Oh, yeah? What does that mean? Oh, no. Well, so Danny and I had done a guest shift with Danny at Evelyn.
Okay, yeah.
A year before.
Formerly over on C and 11th.
Yeah, that was when I had met Danny. Now Lost Lady,
yeah.
That was the night that I met Danny. And it turned out to be the absolute worst guest shift in the history of time. Right? It was me, Jason Luttrell, and Danny Neff. Behind the bar at the Evelyn, and the day before it snowed like 2.5 feet.
Mm.
And that night it poured rain. There was 6 people there, and they were all people that I basically held at gunpoint and told them they
gotta
had to
come,
be there.
Right?
I was visiting from LA doing this thing, and it was me and Luttrell and Danny, and it was like right around, it was just before Christmas, and we ended up basically drinking all the booze ourselves, ordering pizza with the 6 people, and then we just turned the music up as loud as we could and we all sang together and we just screamed and yelled. And Danny was like, so Danny, now fast forward a couple of years later, Danny's like, this is the bar, this is what we're doing.
You get to do that every night.
Thanks. Yeah, but no, so then he's like, we're gonna do that all the time. And I was like, yeah, I'll take 4 shifts.
Yeah, I'm in. Sign me up. And it's, I think one of the best things about it is that it's similarly to what I do at Amore, and similarly, frankly, what Damon does at Grand Army, which is, you know, all his menus are very, very, very thematic.
Yeah.
Suddenly, everybody in your bar is not there alone. They're all there together.
Yeah.
Right? Amore Margo is so focused that everyone's there doing the exact same thing. So they're all there together.
Yeah.
And I think the same gets cultivated at Holiday, because you go in there and you might be having a well-made Manhattan in a chilled glass. You may be having a you know, a
Tecate in a can.
Yeah.
But you're singing along with everybody around you, and it's
that's the best thing. Like, you know, we could drink anywhere. We're drinking here. You know what I mean?
We
don't need a bar. We don't need a bar to get drunk. People don't go out for liquor. They go out for the community and for
camaraderie
and that is I think, you know, the sign of not just a good bar but a good bartender is that, you know, if at the end of your shift, even if it was slow, the six people that are sitting in there, they could be sitting at opposite ends of the bar, but they're talking to each other.
Right.
You know, and
you're the facilitator of that.
Exactly. My favorite bartender that I've ever had the pleasure of sitting.
Oh, don't embarrass me.
No, it's this woman named Rebecca who lives in Long Beach, California, and she used to work the lunch shift at this sports bar that was down the street from my house, and so I would do a lot of admin in there, and they picked up the whiskey, and so I'd stop in, and, you know, I'd be sitting there in the afternoon, but the bar was probably 45, 50 seats,
right,
and then on top of it, it's a sports bar in Southern California. So it's like American whiskey on steroids.
Wow.
It's huge. But yeah, 45, 50 seats. And she's there, and then there's a couple servers running around the room, but that's it. She's the only one behind the bar on all 50 seats. And some days it would get a little busy, but the craziest part about watching her work was that everybody comes in, you know, and be one guy sitting down here having lunch, and it's all, you know, just businessmen popping in for a lunch and whatever. And by the end of her shift, every single one of them is standing around each other at the one end of the bar. Everybody's buying each other shots. Now they all know each other's names. She's telling them all jokes, doing this whole shtick. And it was just what she loved to do.
Yeah.
But watching her every single shift, there was not a shift that would go by where she wouldn't drag the entire bar together. And it was the most incredible thing. I'm fortunate at Holiday. It's only 12 seats and it's a half moon bar, so everybody has to look at each other anyway. All I gotta do is put on some good music and get everybody a little loosened up, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But this woman went out of her way every shift to make sure that everybody knew each other and was involved in the conversation. And, oh, well, hey, Greg, did you hear what my friend Souther over here was talking about this? You kind of might like what he was saying. Like, I think this would be interesting. And by the end of her shift, they all stuck around. And, I mean, not only did she make a killing, but she made friends and people friends. And it was incredible. Yeah. Watching her work was brilliant.
Creating a community, which I feel like, again, is definitely what you do over there. Because that bar is known as the spot where all of the, again, fancy cocktail bartenders go after work, because we all close earlier than you because we're too fancy to be open till 4 a.m.
Hey,
and we all roll over to your bar.
We're always happy to see you.
I'm always happy to be there. Like, it's such a good time to sit down at that bar. And again, it's just what you described. I often walk in and I'll just kind of like take my first few minutes to look around and see what's going on. And what's going on is people are having a good time. They're singing along to songs, and, you know, and then suddenly they're doing it together. Like, that's the thing. It's the togetherness that you create at Holiday.
It's fun, man. I couldn't ask for a better opportunity, a more interesting place to work. Something that cultivates all the little pieces of my background, all the things that come together and represent why I do this in the first place. You know, part of it's because I never wanted a real job. You know. I wanted to be available to try and play music and play rock and roll and tour and do all this stuff, you know. And so I didn't want to get locked into doing stuff. I'm going to school. Like, I love going to school. I love learning. I love reading. I love doing all that stuff. So, well, I need something to pay rent, right, when I'm going to college. And so I end up as a host and a busboy at 19. You know what I mean?
Right.
But all those things, and then music and. And then just the sort of feeling of being on stage, you know, you're the center of attention, and I don't care who the bartender is. If they tell you they don't have a little bit of ego about that, they're fucking lying to you through their teeth.
Yeah. Well, you have to have a little bit of, you know, that's why there's so many musicians and actors and stand-up comedians in our line of work, is because, you know, it's a stage you get paid to stand on every night.
Yeah. And I mean, everyone will tell you, well, it's about hospitality, it's about humility, and it is, but it's also about putting on a damn show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and your bar actually kind of looks like a stage. You know, you're underneath this sort of like
canopy tent with the lights around it.
With lights around it, and then one
the
single light in the center.
Room,
yeah.
And yeah, that,
like when you come,
I didn't design it. Full disclosure.
So. No, it's been there forever. When you come into that room, though, it's the focal point.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The focal point is the person underneath that light, underneath that canopy.
Yeah,
that, and they're putting on a show, man.
And all the and again, you know. So much credit is deserved by all of the men and women that work there and the bar backs and the guys in the kitchen and everybody that works there puts on that show, and they do it a little bit differently. You know, it depends. Different nights, you're going to get a slightly different experience. You might get one of my favorite chalkboard signs that was out front was from one of our bartenders, Kaz. He wrote, "We're a rock and roll bar. Sometimes we play Rihanna."
Right, you get, authenticity doesn't come from singularity, you know.
No, yeah.
Like when we had Cienfuegos, we, you know, it was a Cuban place, and Robbie was always like, play Cuban music. And I was like, if I went to Cuba right now and went to a bar, they wouldn't only play Cuban music. That's inauthentic. So you have to like mix it up in some way to create that authenticity.
Well, and to keep yourself sane.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, you know, you're going to be there for 10-hour run. Your guests may just be there for 2, maybe 3, 5 if you're lucky.
Yeah. We've all worked in that place where they had the loop, you know. Oof. That Oof. I my first restaurant job ever was Buca di Beppo.
Where? Is that in Chicago?
No. It was in the Gaslamp district in San Diego as a host. And then I moved back to Long Beach and actually opened the one in Huntington Beach as a server. That was my first bartending job. I was with the company for a long time. I worked in DC at the one in DuPont Circle. When I moved out there, I was with the company for a good long time, but I tell you what, if I got to hear any more Dean Martin, I might just put my head through some plate glass.
Yeah. I don't bottomless very often, but I got talked into it a few months ago. And I remember at a certain point just sitting there like, you know, stuffed, drunk. And then I was like, this is the second time I've heard this Black Rebel Motorcycle Club song.
Damn, save my soul.
No, yeah. It's the one that only has one lyric, and it's "Ain't No Easy Way Out" over and over again. That's how it's
ain't
like.
Ain't no easy way. No, there ain't no easy way out.
Yeah, there it is. See, yeah. The Holiday Cocktail Lounge right here in the studio.
See, that's the thing. We do it anywhere. We'll even do it in Emporia Margo. Yeah. Then we look and we're like, oh, Max Green's looking at. We should probably quiet down a little bit.
Well, but that's
saying our house.
Fuck that guy. But that leads me to a question. Who does the curation of the music? Because I find that when I go in there, and I feel a little shocked when I say this out loud because I'm old. Like, I know most of the songs.
Yeah.
Who curates your list?
Well, so it's really a function of the staff, you know, and that was kind of what I was getting to, I guess, a minute ago. I wasn't really trying to go anywhere, but... But getting to the idea was that, you know, we're a rock and roll bar, but sometimes we play Rihanna, you know. I mean, we try and keep it a little bit focused, you know, but at the same time, it depends on who's behind the bar, because they're going to play what they want to listen to. They're going to play what gives them that energy and helps them provide you with that time. You know what I mean? Like that's what the whole goal is. And if you're not having fun behind the bar, then it's really difficult to make other people have fun with you. Do you know what I mean? And so you know, if you go in and you see Sean Moore and Alex Strange behind the bar, you're going to get probably some serious emo 90s, like,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe a little harder. If you come in and it's Joe and I, you're going to probably hear some Hall & Oates and some Steely Dan and Zeppelin, and I'm a huge 80s fan. I'm big into like you know, Cure and Depeche Mode and all that stuff, and then also like earlier like pre-punk stuff, a lot of Iggy Pop and Television and bands like that. Those are where my head's at. And so like if I'm behind the bar, that's probably what you're getting.
Do you guys spitball it before shift, or you just have some lists you already have made, or
is
this just all Spotify? Good luck.
Everybody's got Spotify, right? And so they've all got their list that they made. Like, oh, and I encourage it. You know, as the person that is kind of in charge of that circus, there's only so much of it you want to claim, right?
Yeah,
you
know right.
What I
mean? Yeah, yeah.
But no. So it. I'm always like, yeah. Like we have our Holiday Cocktail Lounge Spotify, and I'm like, go follow your playlist, put together your playlist. It's your shift. Throw your party. You know,
right.
Just throw the party.
We throw a party every night. I say that all the time.
Yeah. And it's exhausting.
I say it twice. I say, listen to me carefully. I throw a party every night.
Yeah.
I throw a party every night.
I throw a party every, every night.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is great. It's a fascinating and frustrating part.
I'm not throwing a party tonight.
No,
I took the shift off to come have a martini with you idiots.
You are having a party. You are the party.
Throwing a party right now. Cheers.
I just came to your party. I'm not doing dishes, bro.
So I notice oftentimes that Holiday Cocktail Lounge is on the road. You guys still going places?
We do. Yeah, yeah. We're always doing different things here and there. It's not on the road as much as a lot of people have appreciated the party, and so they're like, well, I want to do that. Let's just call the guys and we'll fly them over and they can do that. And so when we go, it's a blast because we go to a lot of like Pop Fest and, you know, Portland and we've done stuff all over. But we go to a lot of the festival stuff, you know what I mean? The cocktail festival stuff. And we always ship really stupid stuff to the bar that we're going to. Like when we did Pop Fest, we shipped a kiddie pool and like 7,000 of those balls that go in a ball pit.
Yeah.
And we moved a bunch of their tables out of the way. They had this little stage and we put a ball pit on their stage and a kiddie pool. Like, and you know, it's the most hilarious thing. Cause usually, you know, a week outside of the event, I start getting emails and text messages from the owner or bar manager or whatever that's coordinating with us, and they're like, "Hey, a package came for you guys today. It's a kiddie pool and like 7,000 plastic balls."
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We sent a ball pit. Also, how's your sound system? Because it's gonna need to be loud. Yeah. Nice. So go to 11.
Right. So you're like setting the tone before you get there.
Yeah.
And also creating like a little bit of like, I love that nervous
real
tension.
Weirded out, man. It's pretty amazing. And then by the end of the night, they're like, you know, trying to trade t-shirts with us. And like, it's like
asked us to come, pal. So we're bringing it.
Hey, we come hard. We're ready to go. And we're going to throw the fucking party.
You book holiday, you get holiday.
Yeah, that's right.
You get holidayed.
Right, which is a term that gets thrown around quite a lot here. I call your bar, it's on my list of what I call from my own personal records, an entry bar. It is always me that enters. It is not often me that leaves.
Somebody, I can't remember who it is, but somebody... Some
Boilermaker, Subject, no, Holiday. These are my entry bars.
Yeah, one of our
the
friends.
Drift.
One of our friends said to me a while ago, I don't even know if it was related to Holiday, but it had something to do with the fact that you go in, but if you don't remember leaving, you're still fucking there and you got to go back the next day and get yourself.
Yeah.
But you just end up living there for a week, you know?
Yeah. Getting holidayed.
Yeah. That was an Erica Ordonez. She's.
That's
old
right.
Old school opening staff. She's the one that she made a t-shirt that she wore to work one day, and it said, "Everyone's getting married and pregnant. I'm just getting holidayed."
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. That was amazing.
Words of wisdom.
Yeah.
So would you, speaking of taking this on tour, would you take it like full circle back to Los Angeles? Like how I want to know, because in a lot of ways, LA and New York kind of seem like, not the bizarro version of each other, but like where New York is very kind of squished together and stressed out, LA is very like broad and chill. Like would it work essentially is what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Well, so I guess there's sort of a two-part answer to that. The first part is as a direct concept, would I go and do Holiday Cocktail Lounge Los Angeles? Like in the a la Death and Company Denver or you know, Nomad Hotel or any of those things? And the answer to that is no. And the reason for that, simply in my opinion, is that Holiday Cocktail Lounge isn't about the fact that it's Holiday Cocktail Lounge. It's about the fact that It's a thing that's been in the neighborhood since the 60s, and it serves the neighborhood, and it serves the community, and it serves the people around it. And it's loud and it's raucous. Would I go do a stupid bar somewhere where we sing and scream and talk shit? And absolutely. Would I go try and replicate like cookie cutter holiday? No, I don't think there's a, I don't think there's a reason for that, because holiday and it, what its actual function is that it's a bar. It's a bar, and you come there because of the community, and you come there because you know at 1 a.m. you can get a cheeseburger after your shift. You come there because you know no matter who's answering your text messages after your shift, you pop in there, you're going to see somebody you want to have a chat with. You know what I mean? It's a bar. Would I do a bar in L.A.? Yeah, there's great bars in L.A. There's great dive bars in L.A. And I think L.A. might have an advantage in New York in this one area, just because there's so much real estate and so much space. Everything doesn't have to gentrify at such a rapid pace to keep up. And so you can have a dive bar in L.A. that's been around for 60 years, and it's not like it blown somebody's mind. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, that bar's just been there all the time.
Like, right.
It's just what it is. There's longshore bars that open at 6 a.m. and close it at 2 a.m. and then turn around the next day and do it again, 6 a.m., 2 a.m. Like, and they've been there since Prohibition.
Right.
You know? So I think that's maybe the one advantage. Everybody talks about produce, and I mean, we're pretty good at getting whatever we need anywhere now. I remember when I lived in D.C. in 2004, I was kind of blown away in the wintertime what happened to the grocery store shelves. Like that kind of
sudden absence. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was remarkable, because in California, there's just
never happened.
I'd never seen anything like it. I was like, whoa, there's no tomatoes? What are we doing here? Oh, cans. Okay, cool.
Oh, wind chill. Chill.
Hope you like cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's some beets.
I wanted parsley.
No.
Arugula? No?
No, nothing green. Oh, okay. Nothing juicy, nothing green in the winter.
Yeah.
You get potatoes and beets. Enjoy. So what's coming up next at Holiday? Or what's coming up next for you? You got something you want to plug?
Coming up next for me? Yeah.
I mean, the new menu's
the
coming.
The new menu is really where my head's been at lately. But coming up next for Holiday, this summer is going to be a lot of fun. The other thing that we're doing that's going to be really exciting and you should really totally look out for is we're starting to do some private dining experiences.
Ah, yes.
So we have the apartment upstairs,
mm-hmm.
That belongs to our owner, Rob, who's a great guy. And Rob doesn't spend a lot of time upstairs, and so he wants us to utilize it a little bit, you know? So we're going to do, well, right now we're focusing on some brand dinners. We're trying to get involved with that, where we can do, you know, like a Campari family meal or a pig roast. We're buying cajuna and stuff to put in the backyard.
Right.
And all, you know, and Mikey is extraordinarily talented in the kitchen. That kid can do just about anything and do it pretty well. And so I'm really excited about partnering with him and doing some pairing dinners and doing stuff like that with some brands and people that we work closely with. So look out for your brand friends coming and doing dinners at Holiday and jump on that, because those are going to be pretty epic dinners. It's going to feel like a dinner in a living room, you know? It's going to feel like a house party.
Yeah.
Except no one has to do the dishes.
Yeah.
I mean, we do, but, you know, but it's what they're paying for. So
exactly.
We'll do the dishes.
Outstanding. That's great. If anyone wanted to get in touch with you, and if you wanted them to, how could they do that? Social media, what do you got?
Yeah, Eric Trickett on Facebook, Eric _ Trickett on Instagram. That's Eric with a K.
The right way.
You know what? I say that all the time. when somebody tells me their name's Eric, I say, oh, C or a K, and they say C. I'm like, I'm sorry, your mother couldn't spell.
What do you do with Castro? He has both.
Well, him, I say, I'm sorry, your mother was confused.
Well, Eric, it's been a delight having you on the show today. Thanks for
joining us. It's been a pleasure being here.
And thanks for bringing us martinis and getting us all loosened up. And maybe we're going to go sing some songs after the show now. And thanks again, of course, for Jason sitting in. Thanks, bud. Always good to see you. Stop by the bars anytime. He stops by your bar as well, right? You go to Holiday.
Yeah.
Well, you've probably seen his face. And thanks again, Greg, for hanging out with us while Damon is off gallivanting around the world. Last I heard, he was in Thailand.
Singapore. Singapore.
That's
South
where he was.
Africa.
Singapore. He was in South Africa.
Has anybody seen him?
If, I mean, it's where in the world
put
is
put a bolo out on Damon?
Exactly. Where in the world is Damon Bolte? But he'll be back in the coming weeks to hang out with us here on the Speakeasy. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and cheers, buddy. Good to see you.
Salud.
Cheers. Salute.
Don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul.
Want more of the Speakeasy? Follow us and ask questions on Instagram at Speakeasy Podcast or on Twitter at Speakeasy Radio. You can find Damon at Damon Bolte, and you can find me at Creative Drunk on all platforms. Take a moment to write us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform and give us a star rating, 5 if possible. If you're visiting New York City or a resident, stop by the studio and hang out with us during an episode. Reach out beforehand to make sure we'll be here. We'd love to see you. And please support our show by visiting heritageradionetwork.org and clicking on the beating heart to donate.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.